Welcome back or welcome to the Humans of Triathlon or HOT podcast, where we bring you the ordinary but extraordinary world of triathlon, one human, one story at a time. With the aim to inspire and to celebrate this life-changing sport and its humans through real, authentic, raw, and enjoyable conversations with humans of triathlon from around the globe and from all walks of life. Hello, humans of triathlon. This is Swapnil Chauhan here speaking from Melbourne, Australia. And I've got my two co-hosts with me today, Robin Mayall, aka Rad Mom Robin from Oregon, US, and Carlos, aka Charles Hunk from London, UK. I know we've been a little irregular with the episodes this last month. Apologies for that. But I think we should be back to our regular schedule from now onwards. So yeah, today on the show, we are joined by another amazing guest, soon-to-be host from Canada, who I will let Charles introduce.
All right, Humans of Triathlon, welcome to another fascinated episode of our second season. So today we have a very special guest on one side. I think our guest is someone who makes triathlon and qualifying for world championships and things like that look like just having a cup of coffee on a cafe, right? Something very simple, practical, you know, like no big deal. Even though she's gone through some stuff, which we'll talk about, but we'll get there. And secondly, as you know, our dear co-host Robin is leaving us, and I have gone through some sessions with therapists to try to go over it. No, it's been very difficult. I'm still trying to bring myself to reality and understand that it's fine, that it's going to be okay, it's good. But the punch here, and I think is what our man Swapnil just mentioned before, is our guest is also the new co-host of Humans of Triathlon. So without further ado, we give you none other than Shayla Treleaven.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for that introduction. And I hope, Charles, that I can alleviate some of your pain that you're in for Robin leaving.
Yeah, please. Please do. I'm trying. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought it would be a good idea to do an episode with you as a guest. Firstly, just because you have a great story, which I believe would be relatable to many people in many ways. And also, yeah, just to introduce you to everyone before you sort of jump over to this side of the conversation.
Well, thank you very much, because I'm excited to be part of the podcast, one as a guest, but that you guys chose me to be a co-host out of all the people that applied. It means a lot, and I'm hoping to live up to, you know, the expectations that are out there. And I know I won't be Robin, but hopefully people will get to know me just as Sheila.
Yeah, I think what I really loved from your audition was just how interested you are in the stories of people around you and in how people come to the sport. And that's what really stood out, because that's obviously really the focus of this podcast. And I think you will be an awesome addition, and I might be the one with buckets of Kleenex as I listen to further podcasts, but I think the podcast is going to be in great hands.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it is. It's actually the best, one of the reasons I love triathlon so much is because of the stories of the people around me, and even the people that I train with, or people will tell you I'm the great collector at the Y where we train. I tend to, that's how our little team has grown. I like to train with people. I don't like to train alone. So I see people running on the treadmill, or I see them regularly at the Y, maybe outside. I go, hey, do you train by yourself? Would you like to come train with me? And then next thing you know, we got this little group of people training together, and I get to learn their stories and get them to their first triathlon, or help them through that way. And it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Okay, so to, you know, get into your story. Mm-hmm. Your journey as an athlete began at quite a young age as a swimmer, and you had a great run in that sport. So just talk to us about that phase of your life of being Sheila the swimmer.
Yeah, so I grew up in London, Ontario, and I have two brothers and one sister. My sister and one brother are quite a bit older than my younger brother and I. And my sister had actually taught us how to swim in the backyard pool. At the age of 7, she decided I should maybe try summer swimming in the local summer swim league. And I went in, did some races, got disqualified. She came home with a trophy and medals, and I cried the whole way home in the car because I wanted that medal and those medals so badly. I actually wanted to steal them from her. So it was like an actual tantrum. It was terrible. So my parents, and with the encouragement of my older sister, put me into the local London Aquatic Club at the age of 8. And from there, I don't know, I just seemed to excel in the sport of swimming. And by the age of 12, I had made my first Canadian nationals. Wow. Just in one race. But I went, and I think I was second last, but that's okay. It was an amazing experience to see all those like super fast swimmers and Olympians at the event and get a real taste of what could be in the future potentially. And from there, you know, that's all I knew was swimming. Go to school in the morning with wet hair. I was the girl that always had the messy braids and the messy wet hair, came right from swimming.
Swimmer hair.
Exactly, the worst swimmer hair. And then, you know, at high school, I would bring my breakfast to class. I would take the city bus, city bus from swim practice, go to high school. I would sit at the front desk in chemistry class and told the teacher, hey, you know what? I got to eat my breakfast or I'm not going to make it through your class. And he's like, all right. So just kind of lived, breathed, ate swimming all the time.
And did you have any sort of goal or aim in mind to get to?
You know, it was always a really nice thought that I might make the Olympic team. Didn't quite get there, but I did make the Canadian national team. So I just missed the Commonwealth Games team in 1990, which, you know, was a shocker because I was 15. So I'm not young, but I was 15 then. I was young. I made the Pan American Games team in 91 and went there and won two. I was fourth in two events. So I tend to be, that's my favorite number is number four. I'm fourth a fair bit, but that's okay. And then I had some issues. I was dealing with some self-esteem. I struggled with the pressure of feeling like I had to make the Olympic team. And much of it was self-imposed. And some of it also came from my family and things like that, and that they spent their whole lives at the pool as well. So I really just blew it basically that final year in 92. So didn't make the team, but instead took the scholarship to go down to school. So I figured, you know, if I'm not going to go to the Olympics, I'm going to get something out of this sport that I've spent so much time in. And I got my education down in Texas Christian University in the Fort Worth, Dallas area.
That must have been a big change from the Great White North.
It was, yes.
Culturally and weather and terrain and everything?
Everything. Even just lifestyle, right? Like I, you know, at home it was, here I am, the 18-year-old, and your mom's like, I'm sorry, but you have practice in the morning. Why aren't you in bed yet? It's 9:30. Like, get to bed. And then you go to school and you're like, whoa, I'm on my own. What do I do here? People are feeding me. I know I have to show up to swim practice, but, you know, wow, there's alcohol here. And so the first year was a little bit crazy. We'll put it that way.
A little rough.
It was a little rough. My grades were not where they should have been, but enough to get through. I did manage to get to NCAAs that year and compete there. And then go home. I went home obviously for the summer and swam, came back for my second year, kind of on the same path, a little bit of party, doing a little better in school, trying to figure out how to balance a little bit better. And my boyfriend at the time, one day, the end of our first half of the year, we were going out, we were going to Cowtown to go dancing or what have you. And I had had a few drinks, so I wasn't driving. And I don't know exactly what happened. I honestly don't remember how it happened, but I woke up in the truck, slammed against a bridge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I quickly put an end to swimming for the rest of my sophomore year. I also put an end to my boyfriend's football career for that year as well. Mm-hmm. Made it a little bit tough. So it was a good semester of recovery, kind of looking at my life a little bit and, you know, what am I doing? I have this great opportunity, but I'm kind of throwing it away. My coach was good enough to, you know, say, hey, you get home in the summer, you figure out, you start training again, and I will keep your scholarship and see how things go. So they could have easily just taken it away and I would have been back at home, you know, trying to get back into University of Western Ontario or University of Toronto.
Yeah, you had a second chance.
Yeah, he gave me a second chance. So I'm very, very lucky with that. So the next year, I stopped drinking. There's no more alcohol. My grade good point plan. Average, yeah, went up a lot. I managed to not get back to where I was in swimming, but to get back enough that I was able to final at our conference championships my junior year. And then by senior year, I was able to final and medal my senior year at our conference championships. So I feel like I earned my scholarship back that way. Yeah. And very grateful. Really
fought your way back.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it was a little bit of a mess. I didn't actually think I'd be able to run very much after the accident. I did. I'm not exactly sure what I did, but the dashboard went into my knee. So I had a little bit of surgery done right away after that accident and wasn't sure what would happen other than maybe some freestyle swimming, but managed.
I guess if you notice, Sheila, and also if you notice from the past stories that we had in this podcast, usually there is always an event, you know, that's something that triggers something, a reaction on you, know, and it becomes an inflection point. And moving that person from a situation where they're actually damaging themselves in some way to a usually much better place. But there's always that sort of inflection point. And I guess in this case was, in your case was again, no, is this accident you had with your boyfriend in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That was one of them. I have made a few slips after that, but that was a huge change for me, especially with school and everything my parents had, you know, sacrificed for me to be there. You know, I needed to make sure that I didn't throw that opportunity away. And that accident was definitely an eye opener to that point.
So was that more of a motivation or more of pressure? You know, that's obviously a tough thing to go through, right? Because first of all, you have like the thought of having to end your swimming career, that would have been scary. And on top of that, the scholarship would be lost. So there's a lot of pressure going into that recovery. So what was that recovery like and what was going through your head at the time?
There was a lot. I was fighting depression and what have I done and why have I made such a mess and how can I, you know, how can I recover from this or can I recover from this to, oh my God, I better recover from this because again, that pressure was there. I owe it to my parents. I owe it to my teammates and my coach to put myself back together and do this, especially if they're going to allow me to keep my scholarship and keep going. So it was a combination of both, but I'm in a weird way. It was a good thing that the accident happened because it did break me out of, hey, I'm doing a lot of drinking. I'm going to the parties. Yes, I'm going to practice and I'm doing school, but I can do a lot better than what I'm doing. I'm just kind of, you know, going through the motions versus really focusing on what's important. So in terms of that, the accident was a good thing to to motivate me to get my butt gear in a better way. Yeah.
Well, and coming back from that adversity, I'm sure carries forward into the rest of your life.
Yeah, it does. It comes back. I did struggle, quite frankly, after school was done because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I could do. Yes, I had a degree, but I was Sheila the swimmer. You know, now I'm not Sheila the swimmer anymore. Mm. What do I do?
So such a big part of your identity.
Yeah, and I know a lot of athletes who grew up and maybe they were in higher end sport or they're a national team or they were, you know, beyond that. And they struggle with the same thing. What do I do now? This is over. Like, who am I without this sport? And it's definitely something you got to work through. And I did go and try to be a swim coach because I thought, oh, I'll be good as a swim coach. But I liked parts of it. So I loved, and I was coaching little kids. So I enjoyed the little kids. I enjoyed helping them and moving them along. I really didn't enjoy the parents. Is that now that I am one, I understand where they were coming from, but
yeah, I will actually only coach a kid if the kid themselves asks me to. I've had parents ask me to do individual coaching with their kids, and I won't if the kids don't want to for that reason.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just the parents that are pushing, and the kid might not even want to be there.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are definitely do, yeah.
Yeah, definitely they want to be there and the kids are pushing, but you can tell those kids.
Mm-hmm. And those parents.
Definitely, yeah, you can. Yeah, I'm sure my swim team that my daughter belongs to now, and I actually swim there too, they probably cringe when they see me coming, but I try my best to hold my thoughts in.
Well, you know, isn't that one of the coolest things about triathlon is it's a sport that we all came to as adults?
It is.
Like, you know, maybe there's a future in which, yeah, and maybe now parents are pushing their kids into triathlon, but for the most part, we all chose it.
Yeah, we choose this sport, right? We've all come to it one way or another later as adult, and I think it's because we love it.
Yeah.
Once you start it, everyone just seems to enjoy it. And I know for me, a lot of it's social. I love the social aspect of triathlon, you know, but the challenge of, you know, finding that sport challenge that I didn't realize I missed all those years, it really keeps me going as well.
Did it kind of feel like you came back to yourself when you found triathlon?
I did. I really did. I found a little piece of my old self that I liked, and it makes me happy when I go for a run or see my teammates or get a text that says, "Hey, are we running today?" "Oh yeah, we are. Let's go for a run." It just brings that excitement of competition and camaraderie back that I hadn't had in a long time.
Going back to that previous point, like, being a mom now with children who are into sport, how do you try and make sure that they don't completely wrap the identity around sport?
Mm.
So I'm working really hard not to be one of those moms that, you know, because I was high end in sport. I'm kind of coming at them where I'm not pushing them as hard as what I may like to. Because I don't want to put that pressure over them that, hey, your mom did this and your mom did that. Why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? And I trained 11 times a week and you're only going 5. What is wrong with you? You know, I don't want them to feel that. And I want them to be able to explore other opportunities. So my little daughter right now is competitive swimming, but she wanted to do the school musical this year. So I said, go for it. Like, go try out for the school musical. And she got a part. And so she's doing that too. And I don't want them just to be that one person. I want them to try other things, have experience at other things, and know that they can do something other than just that one sport. So I have no trouble with them trying things. I know she's getting older though. So if she wants to stay in swimming with the amount of money that I pay for her to go to practice, she is going to have to be a little more focused soon and pick something. So if you want to focus on swimming, focus on swimming, but know that you have the abilities to do other things. But if you don't want to focus on swimming, then that's okay. You can go do something else. So I've taken that approach because I've seen other parents and the shadow that they cast over their kids and the pressure that those kids feel to live up to their parents' previous accolades. I just don't want that for them. So yeah. So my older daughter, she doesn't really do a lot of sports, tons of talent, no desire to put in the pain. She doesn't like the pain of training. So
that's a big part of it.
Exactly. So she's like, forget it. She does. She grew up sewing. She made her own grade 8 grad dress and her prom dress last year for prom. And, you know, she did all the school plays and things like that. And she will join cross country, or she did the steeplechase for track, but just for fun. Like, she showed up and then, oh, it's track season. Okay, I'll go do the steeplechase. Oh, great. And then my youngest, she loves basketball. I tried her in swimming. Every day she says, Mom, I can't stand it and I hate it. And I said, okay, but you have to stay in it until you can swim well enough that if you go to the lake or to someone's friend's house, I know that you're okay. So that happened last year, and so now she's basketball and sewing, and she loves all of that altogether. So yeah, I just want them to not feel the way that I did or some of my friends did, and they just didn't know what to do other than just that one thing. So
find their own way.
Exactly.
So take us from that time after you left uni. How did you sort of move on from being a swimmer?
I tried the coaching. You know, I was doing it for a while, but at some point during there, I got pregnant and had a baby, my first daughter, and realized that coaching really wasn't gonna, one, I didn't care for it, and two, it didn't really pay the bills for what I wanted for my daughter. So I decided my degree should come in handy, and my sister encouraged me. She goes, I know the perfect job for you. She goes, you would be a great sales rep for pharmaceuticals. I'm like, what? Okay. So I applied for a position and got it. And it's been my career ever since. And that's afforded me to be able to, one, do triathlon and two, look after my kids and my family and have some flexibility there as well with that. So I managed to get my career, and then I focused on raising my daughter, building my career, having more children, and just really focused on family. And that was my new identity, was mom and pharmaceutical rep. And that's what I did. Yeah. And so I wasn't, and I was okay for a while. And then my husband was very busy and he was traveling, and I was with the kids a lot, trying to hold my job, look after little children. He was traveling and I was feeling really overwhelmed and didn't really know what to do. I felt like, you know, my only friends were my like 2 and 4 and 10-year-old, you know, which isn't a bad thing, but it's not a great thing either. So, my brother, my younger brother actually had, so there was 13, I'll just go back here. That was like 13 years of that. And my exercise consisted actually of, I had a treadmill in the basement. And so when the kids were sleeping in the morning, I would get up and I would walk on the treadmill. And then I would watch an episode of Days of Our Lives that I had recorded from the day before.
Wow. Classic.
Yeah. That was my training for 13 years. I didn't touch the water except for to bounce the babies up and down at like kids swim lessons, or, you know, let them, because they said, Mom, get in the water. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I'll get in the water. Here's a toe, maybe a leg, I'm coming. But I didn't really touch the pool at all. And so that was that. And then my brother one day called me and said, hey, you know, he had started a swim team of his own in London. And he had said, we're going to go to Masters Provincials. I'd really like you to swim for my team. I said, well, I haven't swam in 13 years. I don't know what you're getting. And he's like, well, that's okay. Like, my sister Terry was going to go and swim as well. And he said, it'll just be fun. I just need some people. I just need some people to swim because I want to grow my team. And this will help give it some look like there's more than two people. So I said, if I get into lane swim once a week, I'll come. So I managed to do that because I live in Grimsby, Ontario, which is about an hour and a half away from London. So I couldn't swim with him. I just swam on my own. Went to the meet, walked on the deck of the pool, which this pool we used to swim nationals at. They had Olympic trials there, all kinds of stuff. And I thought I was going to vomit. Like, just that feeling of pressure came back. Like, why am I here? I'm supposed to be a fast swimmer. I'm Sheila the swimmer. And quite frankly, I definitely don't have the body of Sheila the swimmer anymore. And I'm pretty sure I'm not going to swim that fast. I'm hoping nobody here knows me. And I went out on the deck and looked around and I went, I don't think this is going to be so bad. The people that were there were from, you know, 18 years old up to 85 years old. And I watched a woman that day, a couple women actually, that totally inspired me. One was, she just aged up to the 80-year-old age group and she broke the world record in the 200 butterfly.
Wow, that is awesome.
And yeah. It's amazing. I'm like, she just did a 200 butterfly. I can't do that right now. But that was amazing. And another woman, you walk up with her walker, get help up onto the block and dive in and swim a 200 freestyle. And I was like, why am I so scared to do this? Why do I feel so nervous? These people are just here. They're having fun. You know, they're enjoying themselves. So I ended up talking to a lot of people and meeting lots of people there and relaxing. Swimming wasn't fast, but I swam. I had fun with my siblings and it sparked the interest of sport again. Unfortunately, when I left that swim meet, I went, yeah, I'm going to go do this again next year. I'm going to do the provincials again next year. But then kids, work, you know, I don't have time. I can't get to the lane swim because it's only at these times. And you know, a lot of the time it was late at night and I was exhausted by the end of the day. I'm like, I can't go do that. You know, I can't leave the kids. I need to get a sitter. What am I going to do? And then my husband said to me, he said, well, can you find a team to swim with? And so I called my brother and said, who do you think I should, is there anybody who would take me right now? You know, maybe a couple of days a week if I can. And the club my daughter swims for now, the coach, he said, yeah, as long as you pay me, I don't care what club you swim for at the races. You can swim for your brother if you want. Just pay me and you can come, you know, twice a week or whatever you want to come. So I said, okay. And we worked out the schedule with my husband or whatever that I went those two times a week and showed up. And the coach on the deck for the master team, he was also a triathlon coach. And he said to me, he goes, you know what would help you get into shape, Sheila? I'm like, oh, okay. One, I'm not in shape. And two, what do I need? And he goes, you should come out for a run with us and maybe ride a bike. And I said, well, I don't have a bike. I haven't ridden a bike in 20 years. And the only bike I've ever ridden really is a mountain bike. So I don't know what you're going to get. And he's like, well, it'll help you get into shape. Like, okay, well, maybe. Because in the meantime, my sister and brother had said, let's go to World Championships. They're in Montreal for master swimming. So I was like, yeah, okay, it'll be a family trip, right? Well, my parents came, my dad and his new wife, and they all came, my brother, my sister and her husband, the kids, whatever. So I said, okay, we can do that. So I thought I better get in shape. So I went out for a couple of runs, thought I was going to die. Just terrible. Got on a bike on a trainer because I'd never been on a bike. Tried to learn how to clip in while it was stationary.
Good plan.
Yeah. Did that a few times. but found that the running was really hard. It was really hard, period. But also for swimming as a swimmer, you know, running generally and biking makes your legs a little heavy, changes your body position, not the great for swimming in general. So I was not really doing all of the things the coach had asked me to do. I actually wasn't running at all anymore. And he'd say, "Are you running?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, 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 I did the running." And he's like, "I don't think you are." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm doing it." And I ended up getting out on a bike with them because I thought that might be okay. The bike about 3 times before the World Championships on a Sunday ride. The coach came out with me once by myself in the neighborhood, taught me how to, you know, clip in on the while we were moving and go out on this group ride with these, quite frankly, ITU athletes, these kids that were really quite fast. Like a couple of them are on the Canadian team. And I was like, I couldn't even stop my bike without falling over. Like literally, I couldn't clip out right. I would fall every time. And so they would actually ride the bike. And if the light was red, and this is terrible because we tried to stay within late neighborhoods that were too busy, the coach would look around and then he'd look back at me and he'd look and he'd go, "Nope, let's just keep going. There's no cars. We're not stopping. Sheila's going
to
fall.
We don't want her to fall over."
And it was really bad. "Sheila's going to fall. We're not stopping. Just go." So I was like, I'm terrible. But I was like, good enough to, at least I could stay on the bike like while it was moving, so that was okay. So I went to World Championships with my family, did that swimming, and I thought, okay, he said, "You need to try a triathlon." I said, "I don't even really understand triathlon." I said, "The only triathlon I ever saw was as a kid. I would watch sometimes the Ironman on TV and go, that's crazy. Why are they doing that? That's insane. I'm never going to do that." And I thought, okay, well, I don't even understand. Like, I seriously said, how do people transfer from their bathing suit in the swim to put on their bike stuff to ride their bike? There's no change rooms. Like, where do they go?
There's no change rooms.
I had no idea about triathlon, like an actual triathlon. And so anyway, they kind of explained it to me. I bought a really cheap tri suit so I could just wear the thing the whole time. Went 3 weeks after Worlds, or two or 3 weeks after Worlds, did my first sprint triathlon. I came third in my age group. And the coach said, "Okay, you have some ability here. I want you to train with us all winter, and then we'll go do a half Ironman next year." I went, "What?
That's a leap."
That escalated quickly.
I don't even know if I like
this. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's my coach. I swear to God, you go from zero to hero in like 5 seconds. And so I was like, I don't even know if I like this sport. Like, and where am I going to find the time to train for that? So I was like, let me do one more race before I got to find one more race before I make a decision like that to try before I make that commitment. And in Ontario, so I did that first race at the end of August, and there's only one race left in Ontario for the season before it gets too cold and they don't do them outside anymore. And it's called the Barrelman Triathlon, and they do it in Niagara Falls. It's like a point to point. They start in Welland and then you end up in Niagara Falls. And it's a half iron distance triathlon. So I was like, "Hey, I just signed up for this Barrelman. It's in 2 weeks. I think I'm going to do this one." He's like, "What?" He goes, "No, you're not." I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, I can do it. You guys are going to be there. I can do this." And he's like, "You're crazy. You don't know anything about this." I'm like, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway because I don't know if I want to train with you guys." And so the longest I had run, so we tried to, because I know you haven't been running, so let's put something together for you. The longest run I'd had was 12K. That I did once. And then a couple of bike rides in between those two triathlons, just try to get a little bit better. Then I went to the Barrelman. I was first out of the water, which is expected. I get there. And then I got on the bike and I was riding the bike, and the wind is really bad in Welland. So the Barrelman's known for the wind. So one direction, you're riding your bike. I was going 19 kilometers an hour. And I'm like, I'm not even going to make the cutoff time. And then you turn the other direction and you're going zooming. 52 kilometers an hour. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I might make the cutoff time. I'm going to be okay. And then got my running shoes on, went out for the run. And I was running out of transition. And this woman goes, you look fantastic. You're running so good. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not running very fast. And I looked at my watch and it said I was going 4:30 kilometer pace, which was probably a minute faster than what I should be running per kilometer. So I tried to close it down a bit, but it was a very painful run, but I managed and I pushed it out. Something crazy about myself. I was going to show my coach that I was going to make this. Didn't care what he said, that I couldn't. I was going to make it. And I made it, finished it, ended up fourth woman overall.
Wow.
And second in my age category. So,
wow.
Which was 40 to 44. So I did my first triathlon at the age of 40.
Nice.
And and finished. And then I sat down right after the race on the grass. My coach's looking at me and I said, hey, I did pretty good. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, it was okay.
I was like, harsh.
What are you talking about? I don't know. He said he was actually hoping that I wouldn't finish to teach me a lesson.
I think he failed on that score.
He did. However, he did relish in the fact that two other women there that were with our group had to like help me to the washroom because I thought I was going to die. I was felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I was in so much pain and my chest hurt and I was crying. I'm like, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. Don't take me to medical. Just take me to the washroom. I'll be fine. And I couldn't walk for a while afterwards. It was pretty painful, but I did it. I got, the Barrelman gives amazing prizes. So if anybody wants to do it, it's pretty cool. They give cash prizes regardless of whether you're pro or, age group.
Nice.
If you're top five, regardless of your designation, you finish top five overall, they will give you a check. It's not a big check, but it's a good Sweet. Check. So it's nice. Yeah. And they also, because we're in the wine region, we also get a beautiful bottle of wine. Rudy Project was giving out gift certificates for helmets, and I got a new watch for the fastest swim. And I was like, this is amazing. Oh my God, I have to do this sport. Look at all these prizes I got. This is fantastic. So then I was hooked. So I trained through the winter. And we went to first half Ironman. So my husband and I and the team went and was in Raleigh, North Carolina. So it was pretty hot. And I was riding. I swam. I did great on the swim. I think I won the swim for my age category. Got out of the water, made it to the bike, actually rode the bike. And I got to this one portion and my husband and coach and some of the other spouses were out there watching at this one spot. And my teammate, Kevin, who had the same helmet, they thought he would be coming in front of me because he's a really good cyclist. Luckily, he got a flat. So it ended up that I came to that spot before he did. And they were like, go, Kevin, go, Kevin. And then I hear from behind me, holy crap. That was Sheila. <It's> So I ended up coming in on the bike. I finished. I got to the close to the transition, and I had just been taught how to take my shoes off while they were still in the pedals. But I was like, oh, wait, the transition's right there. I don't have my shoes off. What do I do? And I was like, pretty much stopped my bike, took my shoes off, and then went into transition. And then went out for the run. It was hot. It was kind of funny. I thought I was going to get DQ'd on the run because I didn't understand. I was running just head down, just going. And I was on my second loop and some people were coming in for their first loop from transition. And I don't know where this man came from, but somehow there was this man in front of me and I stepped on the back of his shoe. and he fell to the ground, or he, I don't know if he fell to the ground, but it was really dramatic. He must have got a calf cramp or something. And he lay down on the ground and he was like, oh, my leg, oh, my leg. And I stopped running and I was like, oh, my God, are you okay? Like, oh, my God. And he's like, my leg. And then this other guy comes up behind me, goes, do you not know that you are in first place for your age group? Can you please just run? I was like, what? And then I was like, okay. And then I ran to this policeman that was on the side. He's like, that guy really hurt himself. And when I turned around, he had been already standing up and running. And so I was like, okay, he's up, he's okay. So I start running and I run past this other man and he goes, oh, are you going to take me out too? And I was like in tears. I'm like, I just want to finish this race now. So I finished across the line. My husband's there waiting for me and they have the food tent right there. And I'm like, I think I need food, but I'm not sure. And I was completely delirious because I had tried so hard. I worked so hard and I don't think I ate properly on the course. And my nutrition was pretty iffy. They took me to the med tent right away because it was, yeah, I didn't really know what was going on. And then I found out that I won my age group. So I was pretty excited. 19th overall, and I won my age category and got to come home with a trophy. And I met Meredith Kessler there. She won the whole event. So she was super nice and talked to me, and she was totally awesome. And said, congratulations on like your first Ironman half and like your third triathlon ever. And from there, I did a couple more tries. And my coach told me that if you really want to be seen as a triathlete, you have to do an Ironman.
What?
I was like, but I don't want to do an arm.
Here we go again.
Yeah, I don't want to do an arm, man.
Who is this coach?
His name's Lee Hart, actually. He's really good. He has a lot of good athletes, but he's pretty intense. So kind of follows along with what I grew up with. So I really didn't know, like, that's just kind of what I know, right? My coaches were always very intense. You work hard, you do this, you make it, and you forget that you're 40, you know? Like, I don't know what you guys are like when you race and stuff, but I forget my age. I'm just back to where I'm training. And this is what I need to do if I want to race fast or I want to improve my time or if I want to do better. I just got to train. So that's where I was. And I said, okay, I'll do this stupid Ironman. And I'll do this stupid Ironman. And we trained and I had never really run very far. Like that 21K and a half was like, really all I had, my longest run ever, and that was painful. So we're building up these runs and I'm crying, and my friend Kevin, who I'd mentioned before, is like, oh my God, can we just leave her and just go? I'm like, I'm fine by myself, just let me run, I'll make it back to the Y, just like, don't worry about me. And they're like, no, we got to make sure you survive the long runs, let's go. And so it was a lot of that. I had quite a few injuries just because my body was not made for running. The muscles were swimmer muscles. They were more
flexible.
All my joints were very flexible. And this running was killing me. So anyway, made it through, went to Mont Tremblant. It rained. It was 2016. So I don't know if you've talked to anybody else who's been to that Tremblant 2016, but it poured rain for the entire race.
Oh no.
Like torrential. And there was also a big accident on the one hill where people ended up going to the hospital, a big bike crash, because people came down the hill way too fast and lost control and things like in the wet rain. Like it was quite an experience. But I was running and I was in second place. And I was hurting really bad. And I came around the first loop because it's a double loop run. And my husband was there. He's like, yeah, you're going to make Kona. You're in second. You can do this. And I said, and I think I turned around. I swore at him. I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, I hate this. I don't want to go up that hill again. I know what's after this. I know there's a big hill. And my stomach got sick partway through. And then, because I had been chasing that girl, because I can't help myself. So I was chasing her and I'm like, I can get her. And then that second loop, it was just like, nope, she knows I'm coming. And I just had to stop and use the porta potty. And now she's gone. And so, and at that point, I was kind of disappointed in myself because I mentally gave up and just said, well, I can't catch her now. And then I was like, I don't want to go to Kona after running this because I really didn't grasp the whole importance of Kona. I really didn't. And I was like, why would I go to Kona when, one, I didn't win my age group, which doesn't really mean anything, which I understand now too. and two, I'm going to go there and spend all that money. In 6 weeks, I have to race. I'm going to go race. It's going to be a terrible race. And then I'm not even going to have any energy to enjoy the island. So why am I going to go spend all that money and not even enjoy Hawaii? Because I'll be too dead to do it. And so that was going through my head during the race. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this. So then the whole time I'm like, but how am I going to explain that to people? Like that I don't want to go to Kona. I was like, maybe that girl in third will pass me. So the whole time I'm like, just pass me. Just pass me. Somebody pass me. And it never happened. So I ended up second. And then when they were doing the call out the next day for the spots, they're like, and Sheila Trelevin, you want your Kona spot? I'm like, no, I don't want my Kona spot.
Wow.
They're like, are you sure you don't want your Kona spot? Like, nope, I don't want my Kona spot. And the girl in third place, she goes, really? You don't want it? I'm like, no, really, I don't want it. And so we were up on stage getting our plaques or whatever. She's like, I'm so excited. I'm going to go to Kona. I'm going to take her spot. I was like, I'm really happy for you because she really wanted to go, right? And I just...
It's your good deed for the day.
Yeah. And you know, you look back on it and I go, you know what? That was the decision at the time. And it probably was the right decision because I would have went to Kona and we would have spent all of that money and I probably would have, you know, struggled from what I've heard about Kona to finish that race at that point in time. And then, you know, I don't know how our trip would have been planned at the time, but it, you know, it probably was a good decision then, but I know, it definitely was, I took a lot of flack for making that decision.
Well, I mean, it was your first Ironman. And on top of that, I mean, the thing with Mont Tremblant is that it is usually like mid-August.
Yeah.
So like you said, it's only like 6 weeks and then you have to go back again, right? So.
Yeah. And it was just like.
Yeah, that is tough.
Yeah, it was tough for me to get my mind wrapped around that. So my coach, being who my coach is, said to me, okay, you're not going there, but you know what? You could probably do pro card. I'm like, I'm 42. I'm like, I just turned 42. What do you mean I can do a pro card? I also work full time and I have three kids. I can't be pro. And he's like, oh, I bet you did. I bet you the times you've done this year and you're placing, you could get your pro card. And I thought, oh, okay. I guess I have a trouble saying no. So I'm like, okay. So I went in, I looked at all the criteria to get my Canadian pro card and I went, oh, I do qualify for that. Well, I'm probably never going to qualify for that again. I'm not getting any younger. Definitely, you know, I don't have time to have 5 years in triathlon and then say, I'm going to go for my pro card now. By that time, I'll be 45, 46. And yeah, probably not the best time to go at it for the first time. So I thought, okay, I'll do it. So I applied for my pro card, but I didn't think it would happen so quickly because I applied in September thinking, oh, I'll get it in January and I'll start the year off fresh. And I got it right away. And what I found out was that the pro card was only good until the end of that year. And then I would have to reapply. And there were new rules for the pro card starting the next year. And some of them were age requirements and things like that as well. And I thought, holy crap. I better get a race in because if I had a race in and I placed at a certain percentage in the winning time, then I would automatically requalify for next year and not have to worry about those other criteria. And then I could have my pro card for 3 years, which would be great. So I thought, okay. So I got on a plane all by myself, got my bike packed up, my bike shop, County Cycle, they packed up my bike for me. I had made found out from my friend who I went to school with, actually, Amanda Stevens. I don't know, you guys know her. She was a pro triathlete. She went to school with me. We were sweet mates at school. We're a bike shop in Miami that I could call ahead of time so they could put my bike together for me when I got off the plane. And went to the Ironman 70.3 in Miami all by myself. Went and did this pro race, scared to death. I had made friends with the people at the bike shop, thank God. So they kind of helped me out through the week and drove me places and told me not to make friends with certain people in Miami on the streets because I tend to talk to everyone. And don't walk here, don't go there, just stay at your hotel and in this area. I'm like, okay. And got into this race. And they put you in the water in the dark. So one, I'd never done an ocean swim. I'm scared to death of being eaten by a shark. So not that, you know, in the harbor, there's probably not that many going to eat me. Jumped in the water in the dark, which was scary. We had an in-water start. I'm used to going off in the age group swims and being right out in front, not having to worry about other people around me until you swim through the next wave in front, which is okay. It's not that big of a deal. You can navigate. This was a whole new experience. I got in there and I got just hammered. There's arms flying, there's arms hitting you, there's strategic swimming, there's people in front of you not letting you pass. I got hit in the face with an elbow. I had a black eye. I'm swimming going,
oh no,
what am I doing? I am in way over my head. Like, what was I thinking? Who talked me into this? And I ended up, I was fifth out of the water. And then got on my bike, was probably last because I'm terrible. I'm not terrible at the bike, but in relation to the other pro girls, I am terrible on the bike. And then finished the hot run. Actually ended up walking part of the run because it was so bloody hot and it was hard. And talked to my one friend, Miranda at the end. And I said, I walked. She goes, you walked? I'm like, yes, I walked. But I finished, had my experience. I think I was 16th. There was no way I was going to fly out there, do that whole thing, take that time away from my family and not finish that race. And went back, got my pro card again. And I said, okay, I'm going to go in and reevaluate this. I'm going to learn a little bit more, especially about where to start in the swim.
how to do this whole thing.
Yeah, I went to Eagleman the next year. Was it Lauren Brand or was it another race? Oh, Texas. It was Texas. And I was in Texas, 70.3 in April, which I hadn't been out on my bike on the road yet because there's no way you can ride your bike on the road out here unless you're bundled up like the Michelin Man before then. So my first time on the road was in Texas. And anyway, I got in the water and Lauren Brandon, who's like super fast swimmer, was kind of moved far out to the side and not in the pack of the swim before we started. I'm like, that looks like a really smart idea. Like, so I moved way out of the side, like not in line of the buoys at all, and swam and kind of followed her lead and went from the outside and moved in towards the buoy. And it was a much better swim. No beating.
Nice strategy.
Yeah. And then it was fine. So it's a lot of learning. It's a lot of fun experience. And for me, like I don't get it. I have a few sponsors that are really awesome and they're really cool to me. But this is not a career. I'm not making money at the pro triathlon. Like I'm not finishing on the podium, and that's okay. I still have my full time job and all of my kids' activities and my family to worry about. And this is more for the experience and the enjoyment and getting to meet all the people all the way from like the pros and learning from them, but also meeting a lot of really cool people. And I love talking to people in line at registration or when we're setting up our bikes in transition and I strike up a conversation about like, hey, those are really awesome shoes. Where did you get those? You know, and then a whole conversation ensues and you find out about people's lives. They do this for a living. I met another pro who he does this because he's actually in the U.S. Army and they travel a lot. So it's really hard to pick a race a year out and commit to it.
Oh, yeah.
as an age grouper. So as a pro, he's able to jump into races at a very, you know, a couple of weeks ahead of time, a few weeks ahead of time, when he knows he's going to be around the area or if he's in another country or whatever. So there's lots of different stories and reasons why people race pro or race age grouper. And it's just a lot of fun. So my best placing actually was at Louisville. I was 9th in October in the Ironman. I got talked into another one. It also poured rain. So it's like really a really bad omen. So if I'm doing Mont Tremblant again this year to redeem myself. But I'm going to warn all the people that may be doing Mont Tremblant Ironman this year that it may pour rain because I will be there.
So, well, you never know what you get on race day.
Wow, that was some journey.
No kidding.
I mean, you went from literally like from 40 years of age doing your first sprint to becoming a pro in 2 years to now, like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, she's a mom. She has a full-time job, a family. And then, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that to qualify as a pro, there's no distinction on age at all.
No,
right?
There's not.
Like, if you make this, you make it. If you don't, you don't.
Exactly. You either make it or you don't. So there's no, like, some of the younger girls that are coming in, I'm like, I could be your mom.
Exactly.
I'm like, but that's okay. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun, you know. It really is. It's just a lot of fun to say that. But I have a realistic view now of where I was. I have to tell you that when I first started pro, my competitive brain didn't really have a realistic view of my abilities or what I could do based on all my other obligations that I have. You know, I would go in going, I think I can come top five. I think I'm going to come top five in this race. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I was 16th. Oh, I was 11th today. I'm pretty excited about that. And, and realizing that I'm not going to be top five. And that's okay. Not unless everybody else gets a flat tire on their bike. And then I will be okay. And that's okay. But that was a bit of a struggle as well, figuring that out and realizing that, you know, it's okay not to be on the podium. It's okay not to win the money. It's okay that I can't take a nap during the day and recover for the next workout. And you know what? It's okay also for me to miss some workouts because I have to volunteer at my daughter's swim meet for my volunteer credits as a parent on the team. It's okay because my kids have recitals for either piano or sewing or whatever this week. That's okay. You know, I'm going to miss that. So now I need to realize that that means I'm not going to be high up on the rankings. Oh, well, you know, it's okay.
Well, priorities.
Yeah. And I get the experience and I get that opportunity. And there's not very many people really out there that get to experience all of that. So I'm really happy that I've gotten this chance.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is really something else.
It's not bad. You had a husband-wife guest on your show a few weeks ago. My God, I'm so sorry. Their names are leaving me. But they did Louisville this past October, and they were talking about how hard it was and how awful the weather was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you talking about Danny and Ray Goggs?
Yeah, the Goggs.
Yes, I am. Yeah, and just how they stuck it out and finished the race. And I have a lot of respect for them, and it was a tough race, and there were so many people that just couldn't finish due to hypothermia. The weather conditions, they said they cut the swim short, which really sucked for me, but those are the people that kept me going on that race. Those and the teammates that I brought that were doing our first Ironman ever, unfortunately at the rainiest, coldest day that from Canada. We were not expecting that kind of weather. We go to Kentucky because it was supposed to be 18 to 20 degrees Celsius, not five, not 5 degrees. But I have a lot of respect for them, listening to their story and knowing what they went through to finish Louisville. Cause I almost quit on the bike at that race.
Yeah, but I think it was hard. I think there's a friend, it's a guy that I follow on Instagram, Canadian actually.
Okay.
Who couldn't finish Louisville last year. I think it was because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was because of hypothermia. There are stories of people who, some of my people I ran into afterwards, they actually stopped at ambulances, went in the ambulance, warmed up for half an hour, and then got back on their bike to continue the race just because it was so cold.
Yeah, I was pulled from a race for hypothermia because I stopped at an aid station and I couldn't get off my bike and then I couldn't talk.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
And the judges said, "You're done.
Yeah.
Go over here."
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'll get back on my bike.
I know. I stopped
stupid.
At special, yeah, I know, eh? I stopped at the special needs and I was like, I can't hold on to my water bottle. Can you refill the one in the front for me? Because that's the only one I can get liquid from. And I have a chocolate bar in my bag. Can you unwrap it and give it to me, please? And they were like, okay. They were the best volunteers ever. And the volunteers in the change tent from bike to run, those women were phenomenal. They were like dressing people. They were like trying to get you warm. They were helping you change your sports bra and your shorts because you couldn't move your fingers. They were tying my shoes. They were like, are you okay now? What else can we do? Are you warm? What other clothing can we put on you?
Wow.
Like, just amazing. Amazing people. But
so do you have any goals set or any plans for the rest of the year?
I have a few races that I've picked out. I've decided that this year, like I said, I realized finally that I am not the super pro triathlete and I won't be most likely on a podium at any time. So this year I chose my races based on which ones my friends were going to from home, from my team. So I have on the list 70.3 Chattanooga in May. I have the Ironman 70.3 in Mont Tremblant, as well as the full in Tremblant so far this year as the ones I'm booked for. If I want to jump into something later in the year, maybe in September or October, I'm open to doing that as well. Just depends on how I feel and how the season's going. And I have in actually 3 weeks from tomorrow, there's a race in Hamilton. It's not a triathlon, it's a run. It's called the Around the Bay. So their claim to fame is that they're older than Boston. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of the Around the Bay or not.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Very cool. Yeah. So it's a 30-kilometer race. The runners that come, there's some really fast runners that come. So to win, like people that have been to the Olympics and all those runners that you were talking about earlier, Robin, before we started, all those type of people. So I'm going to go and do that, not expecting any kind of podium finish or anything, but hopefully I can do it in close to 2 hours and enjoy the day. I'm going to bring my 13-year-old daughter to watch and get the whole feel of the event. And yeah, so that's my next race for this season. So this season's just all about enjoying the experience and having fun.
That sounds like a good plan.
All right, to take us to the end of the show, we have a final few questions.
Okay.
So what's the message you would want people listening to take away from your story?
There's a few, but I think one of the big one is I started this sport at the age of 40. I don't think there's an age limit as to when you can become active or get back into sport. I don't think there's a limit on time. You know, there's some limit on time, but you can find the time if it's something that's important to you or that you enjoy. So, you know, I know lots of moms out there that say they don't have any time to exercise. They don't have any time to, you know, go do the things that they would like to do, get to the gym, do a triathlon. How do you do it? But I think you can find those ways, whether it's, you know, you get up in the morning before your kids wake up and you get your workout done before you have to make lunches for school. Or you talk to the coach of your kids' swim team, if that's what they're doing, or their track team, what have you, and you say, hey, is there an opportunity for me to swim or train at the same time that my kid does?
Yeah.
See, I have to be here anyway. So, you know, since I'm here, can I go do the things I want to do while they're here too? And you'd be really surprised how supportive the coaches or your, you know, kids coaches or your friends or even your job will be when it's something that you, you know, really believe in or, and really want to do for either your betterment of your health or the just, you know, a goal for the betterment of your mental health, because that's what triathlon is for me. So that's my lesson, you know, find a way. You can always find a way.
Love that. Okay. And are there any people or brands that you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, actually I would. So my sponsors have been very kind to me and sponsoring us, a woman who started at the age of 40. So Skechers Performance. So Skechers is sponsoring me. They're awesome. As well as Xterra Wetsuits has been here since day one, and 4G Canada for my goggles. I'm really happy with F2C Nutrition has taken us on, and my team as well, Try Heart Triathlon. My family, so my husband and my kids and my parents and my sisters and brothers for supporting me through this crazy journey of triathlon. My job and all my colleagues at work are really good friends, and they always cheer me on and send me texts during the triathlon that I get to read afterwards. So they're also super supportive and helping me to keep going. And actually to the new swim run series that I'm involved with at home. It's called Stroke and Stride. So to Mike and Steve for letting me be a part of that really fun home-based swim run series. I want to thank them too. And my bike shops, Nick and Gord at the County Cycle, they've been super helpful because my cracked my frame last year. It just cracked, and they were able to get me a new bike very quickly and get me up on going on the road again. So I appreciate that.
Great. Okay. And before we ask our last question, tell everyone listening where they can find you online.
Oh, they used to be able to find me a lot more, but again, those priority things keep happening. But you can find me at Instagram at Sheila Trelevin, as well as on Facebook at Sheila Trelevin Triathlon. I have a blog, Sheila Trelevin at blogspot.com, but I haven't written it in a while. But the plan is to start that up again this season. So you'll be able to find me there too.
Awesome. Okay. And our last question is, why do you try?
Why do I try? So many reasons. One, because I love the social aspect of the sport. It's really quite a good outlet for me and gives me an opportunity to chat as much as I want to, which is usually a lot. I love the mental aspect in terms of my mental health. So it's a great release for me. It's a good opportunity to let out all the frustrations of the day and do sports and compete the way I like to compete, which is generally fairly hard. And I like to always try for the win, and this sport allows me to do that. So I love every aspect, start to finish. So that's why I try.
Awesome. All right, Sheila, it was amazing to hear your story. Thank you for coming on the show, and we look forward to having you on this side of the conversation from next week onwards.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm super excited, actually, to be on the show. Yeah. and to allow other people to talk. It'll be good.
I think this was one of the easiest podcasts for us hosts. We didn't have to do anything, really.
Self-driven. Tesla.
We're along for the ride.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to finding out a lot more about you guys too. So,
and so that also means that this is Robin's official last episode as a host. So Robin, thank you for everything, and we're definitely gonna miss you.
I'm gonna miss you guys and just all the stories. Fortunately, I get to download the podcast and keep up that way.
Yeah.
And I did hear one podcast say, you guys mentioned maybe, Robin, you might like to come on as a guest at one point.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course.
Yeah, I would love to. That would be awesome.
We'll make that happen soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this Humans of Triathlon community. Hope you're enjoying the show and the other content. Make sure to join us again next week here on the Hot Podcast, where we'll bring you another amazing guest and story from this ordinary but extraordinary world of triathlon. Until then, everyone, keep trying.